Transfiguration Sunday. What does that have to do with us? An interesting question, one I think worth asking. We begin by reading in the Old Testament. We see where Moses, he would go and have an encounter with God to such an extent that he came down and his face was radiant as if he were radioactive. So I don't think he was. There's something else going on there. And then we have this interesting part where Moses would speak to the people, and the first time he did, they were frightened of him because he looked different, of course, and something had gone on. But he spoke to the people, and then he would cover his face, put a veil on. And we're not entirely sure why, although it seems pretty likely that he did it. Well, first of all, to not freak people out because his face was glowing, which, let's face it, is unusual. But also that this radiance that he had faded over time, and it was recharged, it was renewed every time he went to speak to God again. And at least one commentator I came across suggests that Moses veiled his face so people wouldn't see it fading. And so they would remember that Moses was the transmission device to bring God's message to them no matter what. And so rather than getting all hung up on whether his face was glowing or not, he just sort of cut right to the chase and removed the possibility of knowing one way or the other. Interesting story, a little odd, maybe. Glowing faces isn't something we see very often. I mean, we talk about it, but it's more of a metaphor for us. You know, the glowing faces of children on Christmas morning have never actually glowed, at least not that I can tell. So we flip over to where Paul talks about this. Paul says, this is the New International Version, slightly different than what Leslie read for us. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Well, we know where Paul places himself on the purpose of the veil. But if we're not like Moses, what does he mean? Moses covered his face as much as anything to ease the fears of the people. It faded, which made them afraid in a different way, perhaps. Maybe they were worried that God's favor would fade away, just like the radiance on Moses' face faded. What is Paul talking about? We're not like Moses. Well, we don't put veils over our faces, but our faces don't glow either, so it doesn't really matter, does it? But what Paul is talking about is something fundamentally different that has happened between the time of Moses and the time that Paul is writing another letter to the church at Corinth that is continuing to cause problems for him. Someday we'll talk more, perhaps, about what might have been going on at that church. But it was a church with challenges, to say the very least. What had happened between then, other than the passage of years? Well, Jesus had happened. Jesus had come. The incarnation of God, fully human, fully divine, in a combination that was unique, that we'll never fully understand, but we accept it as a mystery of our faith. Jesus, the Christ, had come. And that had changed everything. And part of what had changed was that we were no longer dependent on somebody with a glowing face to come and tell us what we needed to do. A new covenant had been made. And that's the language that Paul uses. He goes on to say, talking about the Israelites, their minds were made dull. But to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. Well, if there's an old covenant, then there must be a new one. Something old was there that caused problems, that, according to Paul, still keeps people having the same problems they had back then. Paul says, only in Christ is this veil taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. That's those people who are stuck in the old covenant. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then we get to where the sermon title comes from in verse 18. But we who with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit, another part of God, and another one of the mysteries that we accept because it's beyond us, the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, individuals, yet one person. Once again, beyond us, we accept it for what it is. The Spirit, who is God, frees us from the veils that blind us and transforms us. We move from the fading glory of Moses to the dynamic glory of our relationship with Christ, symbolized, if you will, with Jesus' experience on the mountain, where he was transfigured in the witness of the three disciples who were up there with him, James, John, and Peter. Peter, not really understanding what's going on, suggests they just stay up there forever. I can see that. We've all had extraordinary experiences that we wish would never end, whether they were of an obviously spiritual nature or whatever they might be. We have that sense that this is as good as it gets. I don't want to leave. Sometimes they're hard on Peter for that, but what else was he going to do? He's on a mountain with Jesus, who he's beginning to understand is in fact the Messiah promised all those ages ago, and sees two of the biggest figures in Jewish history there with him. What could be better than that? Christ was transfigured. He was changed into something, at least for a moment, so those witnesses could see the true nature of Christ, that divine nature that was hidden, that was obscured behind his humanity, always there but not always visible. In the same way that the sun is always there, whether there's clouds in the way or we're on the wrong side of the earth, the sun's always there whether we can see it or not. And Christ's divinity was always there whether anyone could see it or not. Broke through sometimes in the miraculous things he did, and in this particular case, in a way that was unmistakable to those who were there. What about us? We weren't there. We read the story and we can place ourselves there in our imagination, but we weren't there. So why do we have Transfiguration Sunday? What is it all about? Are we transfigured this Sunday? I don't have a mirror handy, but I'm pretty sure I'm not glowing. I look out at you and you're not either. You look as lovely as you always do, but you're not glowing. We're not seeing something profoundly different that changes us forever. Where are we? Are we perhaps just not looking in the right place? Or to push the metaphor as far as we can, are we looking with the wrong eyes? What Peter, James, and John saw was the fundamental reality of Jesus as the Christ, that they could see for a moment, change them in ways that probably went on the rest of their lives, didn't fade the same way the glory faded from Moses' face. And it might have been easier for them in those following days, although they obviously had their challenges. Peter denied Jesus in just a few short days and all of that. But do you think the memory of that transfigured Jesus kept them going in some of their other hard times? I think it did. And it can do that for us as well. Because one of the things that we do is that we follow Jesus. Not Jesus the Jewish peasant from thousands of years ago, but the Christ, the eternal member of the Trinity, always existing. We follow the Christ that we saw through the eyes of the writers of the Gospels and through our own experience with this living Christ in ways that are beyond our human eyes. Where do we see the transfigured Christ these days? Not shining on top of a mountain, but in lives that are changed in ways that really nothing else explains. Because Jesus is as much alive now in the form of the Christ as he was then, as he always has been. The transfiguration was a glimpse into that reality. And as we read, especially if we read in John, we see that Jesus is saying that I'm going to go from here, but I'm going to leave behind, I'm going to open the way almost for the Holy Spirit to be with you in a new way that will transform and transfigure you so that you will know me in a new way and that you will be me in a new way. We are the body of the Christ. As the body of Christ, and the universal one, church everywhere, but also here in this community of faith. And we take that same Christ with us whenever we go. Our faces might not glow, but we have been affected just as if our faces did glow. We've been changed from the inside out. We've become someone else, a better someone. Closer to our true selves that will ultimately be realized when we see Jesus face to face, not through that not so great mirror that Paul talks about, not through veils of any sort of our own devising or someone else's. It's Transfiguration Sunday, but we're not transfigured. We are reminded of this story in the Gospels. We're reminded of the fundamental reality of who Jesus was, both human and divine. And we're reminded of it this Sunday, because this is the last Sunday before Lent begins. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, when it all kicks off and we begin that inexorable march to the crucifixion, but then also to Easter. This is a good time for us to be reminded that Jesus came not just to give some good ideas, although he did, that Jesus didn't come just to heal some people, although he also did that, but that he came to demonstrate beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt that God loves us, that God has not turned his back on his creation, but is willing to become part of it in a way that is unmistakably the same as us. Jesus came to earth and walked around like everybody else did, and ate and slept and got tired and laughed and grieved and did all the things that any other human being ever did before or has done since. We aren't transfigured this Sunday. Transfiguration isn't for us. But every time we encounter the risen Christ through the Holy Spirit, every time we demonstrate once again that we're part of this new covenant that doesn't fade, every time we place ourselves directly where we know God wants us to be, whether it's to do something big or small or simply to be, every time we do that, we are transformed anew. We are remade again. We don't have a glory that fades. We don't have a glow that fades. But because we're human beings and we get caught up in the things that take our attention, we can find ourselves forgetting almost what it means to follow God, what it means that we are in this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But every time we come back to that, we are transformed, we are renewed, we are brought back into who it is that we actually are. The day will come when we won't have to do that anymore. The day will come that we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, when it will be complete. And we'll be ultimately transformed at the end of all things, whether that's for us as individuals or when everything wraps up, whatever that looks like, whenever it is. But in the meantime, we are reminded that it was the same God who spoke to Moses in ways that faded. It was the same God who was revealed to those witnesses on the top of the mountain, who is with us today. The Holy Spirit is with us today in the same way that the Christ was with his followers in the form of Jesus. The Christ is with us today in the form of the Holy Spirit. Transfigured, no. But every time. Every time we encounter the risen Christ through the Holy Spirit, we're transformed again. Amen.